presence is something to ponder. Your talent ain't something to squander. Blessed and favored so high. Nay, anointed, appointed I might be. This is that all that podcast featuring Kyrie.
Welcome back to another episode of the All That Podcast. Today I have a returning guest, somebody who was on the show 4 years ago.
I can't believe it.
4 years ago. So today I have my friend Mariah Solis on here. I know y'all always see me post her. If you follow me on Instagram, like I'm always like, she's like an inspiration. She's like a boss. She's like all of that. So how are you doing today?
I'm doing amazing. Thank you for having me. It's great to be back. I've loved your podcast. So hopefully I have some important, interesting things to say.
So you were on the podcast October 9th, 2018.
Wow.
Dang. And so I'm looking at the description. It was like, I talked to the young and upcoming lawyer out of Houston, Texas, Mariah Solis. So it's crazy because from that description, right, you were just starting off, right?
Right. I believe I was still in law school. Mm-hmm. Actually, that's the year I graduated from Thurgood Marshall School of Law. So I was just starting out.
Shout out Thurgood Marshall.
Yes.
But yeah. So that's crazy because you fast forward now and you have your own law firm. Like
it's like
nuts.
Coming full circle.
And it's
right?
I don't know. I don't think this happens this quick usually, does it? Like
I haven't seen it happen too quickly. Honestly.
Yeah, she hasn't seen it happen this quickly. It doesn't happen like this. So like 4 years in and you already like got your own shit.
Right. Yeah.
Look, that's like I always say, dude. Like I just be looking at you from afar and be like, man, I need to step my game up. You know what I mean? This is what you should do, people. You should keep people around you that motivates you. So let's just jump right in. So how was it? First, I don't even want to say how was it. I want to go to the moment where you decided that you were going to step out on your own. Can you talk about how you came to that decision? Was it scary? Like, would you go like sleepless nights? So how was that?
Well, I was working at a personal injury law firm because, you know, I only handle personal injury cases. I was working about 12 hours a day, Monday through Saturday, and I always had a dream to have my own firm. I never knew when I would have it, but I knew it was in the back of my mind. Well, the more I worked in the industry, the more I started handling these catastrophic level cases and getting my own clients and settling them, I started to realize, hey, I can do this. Mm-hmm. And not only I can do this, but why am I not doing this on my own? Because there comes the time where you feel comfortable and confident because you've done so many different types of cases and you're getting those good results. And I was also getting a lot of my own clients through my social media outlets.
Right.
And a lot of those clients, it wasn't my decision to take their case, even if I wanted it. And I thought it was slam dunk case and I could really make a difference in their lives. I was still at my boss's discretion. So right. I would never be able to make the decision to help these people, regardless of how badly I wanted the case.
Right.
And when that continued to happen to me year after year, I finally decided I need to take this chance on myself. I need to bet on myself. I need to move positions and take control of my own docket.
Right. Wow. So, okay. So you're making this decision. You're like, you know, I'm tired of, you know, having to not move as freely as I want to. Mm-hmm. So who did you share this with? Like, did you share it with your boss at the time or did you share it with who did you share this information with that you wanted to make this change?
I was really terrified to share it with anyone because a lot of people would criticize and say, well, you're too young.
That's why I asked. I was about to ask, like, who did you have anybody that discouraged you? Like, nah, that's a little bit too much. Like, you need to, you know, stay here a couple of more years. That's
absolutely
down the line type of thing.
Anytime I sort of mentioned it in passing to other lawyers or previous bosses, it was you're too young, you're not ready, you don't have the capital. And I constantly was getting that negative feedback just over and over. And then on top of that, they would just offer me a position at their firm and say, well, you might be happier doing this, or we'll give you more freedom here.
Yeah.
But it wasn't what I wanted to hear. And actually, that motivated me even more to want to start a firm.
I'm going to show y'all.
I don't think many people would get so motivated by that negative feedback just time and time again. But
right.
It made me want to start it. And I made that decision. I'm going to do it regardless. I did share it with my partner, of course. Mm-hmm. My husband, he was extremely supportive. And he helped me line everything up and get it laid out and prepared. So he was my rock and support system and yeah. the positive that I needed in my life. Because you just have to surround yourself yep. with that positive energy.
Facts. So, okay, now, you know, you're here. You made the decision. You're going to do it, right? So it's these things seem glamorous, right? Like, right. oh, she has her own law firm. But a lot of people, you know, like to look at things, but they don't really know like what it takes to maintain these things, right? Mm-hmm. So what challenges did you face with, you know, opening up your own business?
Oh, yeah. The first 6 months, I would say, were the most challenging times. You're just starting. There's so much to do. You want to keep that outward appearance that everything is together and your cases are fine. But really, every day is a hustle and a struggle. You're trying to get business, you're lining up your finances, setting up all of your accounts, and you're making sure that you have a system in place mm-hmm. where you can work these injury cases properly. And that was crucial. Just to get the system in place took a good 6 months.
Wow, just for the system.
Just for the system. And you're still constantly evolving.
Right.
And once the system was finally in place, then you start bringing on some employees, some help. Business is picking up. You've mm-hmm. been able to pay all for your softwares that you need and you're ready to go. Then you've got to deal with employees. And I think one of the hardest things about running a business is hiring the employees and making sure they're the right fit for your business.
So how do you go about that? How do when your people interview with you, what do you look for to say, okay, you fit the Solis firm? Like mm-hmm. what is that? Makeup, what does that look like?
Well, one, I do interviews really differently than I think a lot of injury law firms or law firms in general. They're usually very in office and very structured. And I just say, can I take you to lunch? Because I'm all about breaking bread with the other person and sitting down right. and having a conversation, really getting to know who they are before they work for my firm. Because regardless of their education or what type of cases they may have worked, if their mindset is not on the same page as mine and I don't see that they're ambitious, honest, loyal, and hardworking, then they are not going to be the right fit for my firm.
Right. Okay.
That's my criteria.
Yeah. So I know you have the Mamba mentality, what we call Mamba mentality, right? Like just get it done at any cost. So, but because I want you to speak to people, particularly women who are looking to branch out, start their own business, do yada, yada, yada. I want you to talk about the moments that you had where you wanted to quit mm-hmm. and how did you get past that?
Well, I know there's a lot of competition, especially in Houston. And mm-hmm. you see it's a male-dominated industry and you see these billboards and fancy commercials and you might think, I can never compete with this. I cannot spend $500,000 a month because that's what some of them are spending. Right. You're just a solo practitioner getting out there on your own. So it's a struggle and there had been days where I saw that and I tried to compare myself to that level and I would get, you know, sad because I said, wow, their team's growing so quickly. Or I would see other young firms growing so quickly and think, what am I doing wrong? Mm. They've got a huge fancy office and 10 lawyers and billboards already, and they just started when I did or a year before me. So I would put myself down trying to compare. Mm-hmm. But what I realized is the moment you stop comparing and focus on your own business, mind your own business,
right?
That is when you're going to be able to shine and branch out because you need to create solutions for yourself. Looking at other firms and other businesses and what they're doing is not going to help you at all. It's just going to make you go in a circle and you're going to fall into maybe a depressive state because you feel like you can't compare or speed up. So slow and steady wins the race. That's always my saying to myself. I have a poster of that on my wall. If you've ever mm-hmm. read the Tortoise and the Hare book, mm-hmm. that's my whole theory about having a law firm is do not rush the process. You're right. going to have hard days, slow days. The phone's not ringing, and you're going to look at other firms, you know, what you think they're just blowing up, but this is a long, long-term goal, and you're going to be doing this for the rest of your life, so take your time.
Right, right. So one thing I like about how you do business, you know, just looking from the outside in, is that it seems like you, well, I know this for a fact, you take, you know, the relationships with your clients seriously. Like, I remember we went to lunch a couple of months ago, mm-hmm. and you were coming from somebody's house, wasn't in the most favorable neighborhood, but you went, like, you were in, like, nah, you come down to the office, like, you go to them, and you see, like, you know, messages people send you thanking you for, you know, how you handled the situation. So can you talk about why is that so important for you to cultivate those relationships with your clients?
Yeah, so it's one of the most important things to me. It sets me apart from these other large law firms. I go to my clients just like I am with employees. We go to lunch. Well, mm-hmm. my clients become a part of me, a part of my firm and my family. So going to their house, meeting their parents, getting to know everyone in the family, because it's a family affair. If you're catastrophically injured, everyone's involved.
Right.
You need to see how they live, how they think, and how this accident is really affecting them. You are putting yourself in their position as their attorney because you've become their voice. So it is crucial for me to go to their house, see how they live, see the hobbies they like, and really get to know my clients, because that's the only way I can successfully advocate on their behalf. And not only that, they end up sending me business. And that's how I get a majority of business. I get repeat referral business.
That's cool. That's cool. I think I asked you this before, but, you know, it'll be interesting to hear the answer from then to now. But how do you, or do you, or can, is this even possible? How do you not take cases home? Like, how do you decompress? I feel like you do a good job because you, like, go on vacation, like, periodically, like, often. But how do you detach from that, or do you? Or is it impossible for you not to take it home? You know what I mean? So what is your practice on decompressing from work? Because you do have a taxing job. You're dealing with, you know, death, you're dealing with injury, you know what I mean? So what is your practice for that?
Yeah, self-care is on the top of my list every single day because of dealing with these kind of cases. And it's a full-time job to make sure that you don't let it get to you. It really takes a lot of self-work to not bring the work home with you. So taking vacations helps, taking time out, relaxing, getting off your phone at the end of the night. But it is impossible, I would say, to fully erase it from your mind or your dreams, because I frequently have dreams about cases, very frequently. So even when I'm asleep, it's still coming to me. So I really can't separate it, but I do try to have hobbies and take time to take care of myself and do things that make me really happy.
Right.
And the work is extremely fulfilling, even though it is tragic.
Yeah. With you, it's like you work hard, but you play hard also. It's like you enjoy yourself. So that's good that you have that balance. So you are a female in a male-dominated industry. So speak to those challenges of being a young minority woman and starting your own firm and the challenges that comes with that.
I think I did intimidate a lot of the men in the industry. I'm not going to lie. I have so many of them, even the large firms, watching my content every day. And I feel like I do have some sort of target on my back because I did come up so fast. I am doing really well. And you have a lot of eyes on you when you're young and you're doing well. And you really have to watch yourself, I would say. And I've even been warned to watch myself from other attorneys. Okay. There's a lot of jealousy in the industry. It's not always pretty. Lawyers aren't always nice to each other. Most of us are, but there's always going to be the bad apples.
Right.
So it is still run by men. So when a woman comes into the picture, they're always asking or commenting or saying, why would anyone want to send a case to you? You're young, you're a woman, you're just pretty. Maybe you're just a little model. Oh, you're just a content creator. you get these kind of comments.
Yeah, a little
but
slick
what
comments.
They can't compete with or say anything about is the results that I'm getting,
right.
And the fact I don't have to spend a dime on advertising to convince clients to come with me.
Talk your shit.
That's right.
So, Alexa, play a Millie by Lil Wayne because you just got your first million view
right.
TikTok today. So, can you speak on, you know, because it's a new ball game, right? I always tell people, like, no matter what industry you're in, you need to be in media, period. Like, it don't matter. So, can you talk about how social media has impacted your business?
I get about 90% of my cases from social media. And I really use all
90%.
Outlets. 90%. Wow. Every single time I post a reel or a piece of content on social media on one of the platforms, I will at least get one potential client call every day. And those really add up. And it took me a year of content creation to get to where I am with this TikTok, the million views. It takes a long time and a lot of work to get there. But you're right. Every single industry needs to be on there because it has evened the playing field
right.
for small business owners. It has actually busted the doors wide open to the point our reach is limitless. That is our new billboard.
Literally.
Yeah.
And it's cheaper.
Way cheaper.
Yeah. Way cheaper. So earlier, you know, you just said that you get a lot of envy because you've moved so fast. So with that, with, you know, with you moving so fast, what keeps you motivated? Like, because you're hitting these wins fairly quickly, you know, you got your own firm fairly quickly, and it's like, damn, I'm accomplishing everything. You know, I mean, I would imagine at some point, you know, you could get a little like restless or like, you know, maybe I'm looking for something else. Or you can have that thing that keeps motivating you. Like for an athlete, you know, for instance, like, you know, Kobe Bryant, I'm always bringing him up because that's my dude. But like Kobe or Serena, I'll use Serena, just use somebody different. Serena, right? So she has the most illustrious tennis career of all time. But what keeps her coming back is she's one short of the all-time Grand Slam total. Like, so that's her why. I keep playing, you know. Also, she loves the game. So what is your why? I mean, why do you keep showing up every day? Like, what keeps you going?
One, I love the game.
Mm-hmm.
I love the clients. I can say all the lawyer things. I love making a difference, changing the laws. And really, I have a lot of self goals. I'm a very competitive person. So I write out my goals and I have to reach them. And one of my goals is becoming one of the most successful personal injury law firms in the United States. That's a high-level firm, like some of the bigger firms I admire. And I know I will reach that point.
Mm-hmm.
But because I love what I do so much, I don't feel like it's a full-time job for me. This is my hobby. This is my life. It's my life purpose and what I live for.
Right.
So I wake up every day excited to start and get new clients and talk to people because I'm a people person.
Right.
If I didn't have people, I wouldn't be motivated to do this job at all.
Love that. So going back to Serena right quick, in her Vogue piece that she did announcing her evolution, she doesn't like the word retirement. So her evolution from tennis, she was saying that, you know, the main reason for her evolution is that she wanted to expand her family. And she was saying now if she was Tom Brady or LeBron James, this wouldn't even be an issue.
Right.
Right. So my question to you is, how often and how do you handle questions when people say, hey, Mariah, like, when are you going to start a family? Like, when are you going to do boom, boom, boom? So how do you handle those questions? Or do you think they are fair?
I think it's a fair question to be asked. You know, are you going to have kids, especially as a woman in her 30s? A lot of people are asking me that. Friends and family.
Yeah.
A lot of my friends are having kids at this age.
Mm-hmm.
And I just say, all in good time.
Right.
You know, when it happens, it will happen. But it's not something that's going to happen anytime soon. And my partner knows that.
Mm-hmm.
We have a game plan for what we want. Of course, unexpected things can happen.
That's true.
But it is a fair question. It doesn't worry me. And why doesn't it worry me? Because now I own my own business. Mm. If I didn't own my own business as a woman in personal injury, you would have to worry because you can no longer work those 12-hour days Monday through Saturday without truly giving up a large part of your life
right.
that now may belong to your child.
Right.
So because I own my own business, I feel a lot of freedom and stress relief from that mm-hmm. to where I could give a child that attention I would want to give and be there. Right. But I'm not restricted anymore. And for the women who still are, that's a big part of the reason you should start your own business.
There it is.
Yeah, straight up.
Straight up. So is there any like stereotypes about personal injury lawyers that you would like to clear up?
Hundreds. We're sharks.
The floor is yours.
Ambulance chasers.
Yeah.
We're just blood sucking, greedy, you know, all over people that are injured.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's always the case. Like I said earlier, there's some bad apples, but most of us are extremely caring because the amount of hours and effort we put in, even a simple car wreck case, I don't think clients even understand.
Right.
I may put in 8 hours a day just reading through medical records on a client's crash where they just have a soft tissue shoulder hurt or arm hurt.
Mm-hmm.
So for the people who call us bloodsuckers or greedy, if you really calculated the amount of hours we would spend per case versus our actual payout, some of us are making less than minimum wage. And I don't think a lot of people see that. They just see the big settlement numbers.
Right.
But they don't know the back end hours it takes to get there or how much time it takes to get there. So for all of you who have had an attorney, be appreciative of their work because it's not a snap of your fingers and get a settlement. There's a lot of work that goes into it. So I don't think lawyers are as greedy as they say. Mm-hmm. If we were, we might be in corporate law. Just saying.
So can you tell, because like we said, we wanted to tell, you know, especially women, I give them some tips, right? So talk about the importance of networking, because I just have been on this tip lately because mm-hmm. I'm speaking for myself. And the connections that I've made with people, and they put me in situations that people with money can't even get into. You know what I mean? So it's like Definitely. Just knowing somebody can. So can you talk about the power of networking?
There's nothing more powerful than networking. Like you, I can't tell you the amount of times I've met someone who put me in a position to do things I would never be in the position to do had I not met them.
Right.
That is crucial. I talk to law students all the time, and I said, look, my grades weren't the highest in law school, but you know why? I was out networking. Mm-hmm. I was at the lawyer events already as a law student making those connections, and that's where I ended up meeting my future bosses, colleagues, and co-counsel. So those connections put me in better positions than making straight A's would have made me. You really have to think about who you want to be associated with in your field, and how they can work with you and how you can help them.
Right.
So it is absolutely crucial. I even met my former boss, mm-hmm. who was one of the few who pushed me to start my own firm through networking events.
Wow.
To the point we didn't have to have a formal interview like mm-hmm. everyone else. We already had a connection. He already knew about me and who I was.
Yeah.
Because of networking.
Right. So besides starting your own firm, what has been like the coolest moment, like to where you're like, damn, I'm really her. So what has been that moment for you, or moments, if you can't narrow it down to one?
You know, there has been some amazing feelings, including the one today mm-hmm. when I did get 1 million views, because 4 years ago, I didn't even think I would have my own firm. And today I have this audience of 1 million plus and growing. That was one of the moments today, and there's also been multiple others where I'm handing clients big checks, big checks, not only clients, but associate counsel who sent me cases. I can say I have made one of my best law school friends over $800,000 in a case. Sheesh. And I got to talk to him about that check and change his life. So that's also a moment where you're like,
yeah,
like you know, that's me up. Right now doing this. This is actually happening.
Yeah.
And just looking back at the commercials that I've made and the staff that I've hired, it feels good to have people under me that love what they do and just show the world what we came to do. And I do have an all-female team. I'm not against hiring men, but at the moment, it's all women.
Really?
Yes.
So you're doing like the Beyonce thing. That's what's up. And she had like the all-female band.
Yeah, and it just happened. I have the best and best-looking team, I can say.
Right. And so Jay-Z had this lyric in the song called Boss, right? Because when you said you handed the $800,000 check, it reminded me of this verse. So he says, everybody's bosses till it's time to pay for the office, till them invoices separate the men from the boys or the girls from the women. Over here, this is the part, we measure success by how many people successful next to you. Here we say you broke if everybody is broke except for you.
That's right.
So you a real boss.
I believe
according
it.
To Jigga Man.
I mean, bosses are supposed to give people opportunity and make them money and make them opportunities to make even more money.
Facts.
You're not a boss until you're helping other people make money. Period.
Period.
And everyone wants to be the boss until they see what it takes to put on the boss's shoes. You are paying payroll, invoices, starting a business. And I have had an attorney leave my firm early.
Really?
That happened. And that happens to a lot of attorneys.
Okay, let's stick on that because that's a good lesson, I guess. How did you handle that? Like, did you take it personal? Or
well,
were you
they went and started their own firm.
Okay.
So we're happy for them.
Gotcha.
But it's hard to explain to someone so ambitious who wants to do that, which is typically the people I hire, what it takes behind the scenes. And that's for them to figure out on their own path and journey.
Right.
But you can't take it personally because the people I hire, of course, they have that ambition.
Right.
That's what I ultimately want people to do. If you have that goal, you need to go do your goal or you're never going to be happy. So.
Right.
We're happy for them.
So you're not trying to like hold people hostage. You're like, go. Like,
go.
Yeah.
Go be free. I will send you business. Let's have that good relationship.
Yeah.
But the key is never talk bad about someone who paid your mortgage
who put you on.
Yeah. Exactly. Who taught you.
Because you never know if you're going to need that person again, first of all.
And you know? Usually do. So
facts.
All the young people, don't burn bridges if you can help it.
Right. So lastly, I want to ask, do you have... Not lastly, second to lastly. So lastly, second to lastly. Do you have anything that you want to accomplish outside the realm of law?
That is a great question because, you know, I'm always thinking only law, law, law.
Yeah.
But there are other things I'm passionate about that I'm working on, and I'm on the board of different community boards, and I'm really passionate about helping children. I do a lot of charity work with children, and it's specifically like orphan children or hurt children or students in less fortunate situations and minority students. So I will go kind of mentor these students, and I've done that year after year, and now I'm on another board of it has to do with law, but it's called Women in Law, and we go mentor young women who are interested in law and kind of need direction.
Right.
And they go to these underprivileged, underserved schools with mostly minority women. And that is a big, like, passion of mine. And that's something I want to make more popular with other attorneys.
Love that.
Go out there and mentor the young ones.
Right.
Don't just discourage them to become a lawyer. It's too expensive. Just get that out of your head.
Right.
No one told you that.
Exactly.
Don't do that to young people.
So. Yeah, got to put on for the next generation.
Yeah.
So, lastly, you're 65, right? You're looking back, right, over your life. What does that look like for you? Like, where would you want to be at 65?
You know, I will probably still be at the law firm and I will have hopefully some kids interested in law that are helping run the firm and be slowly retired and just kind of giving my expertise on cases here and there, living mostly in on the beach in Mexico and have a very happy outlook on things and have no regrets about how I started and what I did. Which is always my mindset. You can't hold on to the past.
Right.
You just have to push forward and stay positive everything you want, if you're positive and you set your mind on it, you'll get it. I always have. I've gotten everything I've asked for to this moment because I put that into play. And I am a true believer of that.
I'm nodding like
you
this
because
I yes.
It happens.
Yes. Like
amen. It's yeah, all about
the
you.
Alchemist. I know my listeners have heard me bring up the Alchemist a lot of times.
Yeah.
It's the modern day Bible to me. It's like mm-hmm. once you put something out into the universe and you put work behind it,
right?
It's you also heard me say this a lot on the show. So I had a guest on here from London. He's a life coach. And he said, everything you want is already there.
Yeah.
You just create blocks to it. Like, so through fear, you know, doubt, all this stuff that we create blocks to what we want. But it's there. All you have to do is go get it. So that's why I was nodding so hard with you. Because it's real, bro.
It's real.
It's real. If you'd say, put out what you want to, or write it down, because writing down is powerful mm-hmm. also. Like, I have whiteboards all over the place. If you write down what you want and then act like you already have it, you know what I mean? And put the work behind it.
Yes.
And just walk like it's yours already. It's yours.
It really is as simple as that. I tell people, it's up to you. It's all about believing in yourself. That
Facts.
Is the key to success, period.
Facts. Facts, facts. So, yeah, so we're going to get out of here before we start preaching. But
yeah.
But thank you for coming on the show again. It was fun. I think everybody, I was about to say ladies, but yeah. I think everybody, because like I said, I'm a male, obviously. And like I said, you push me. So I think everybody got something out of this. We'll get something out of this episode. Just continue to be a boss. Continue to be an inspiration, continue to just raise the bar, you know what I mean, for everybody around you. And, yeah, thank you.
Thank you for having me.
All right. So that is it. We are out. Peace.